In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. There is a great issue with this gospel that we have just prayed. And the issue is this. If Jesus is God, why is he running away from a man? Why? Why? Why is Jesus running away? Why was Joseph informed in a dream, take the child, leave. Herod wants to kill your son. Go to Egypt. Why? Who knows? Anybody? You ever think about it? Did it ever bother you? Well, theologically it bothers a lot of people, but the reason is basically this. When Jesus thirsted, and when he was hungry, for example, when he sat by the well, we have this icon over here in the corner that nobody looks at. Jesus with a Samaritan woman, Fotini. Very corner. You don't ever pay attention. I know. You come into a church with a bunch of pictures. There are a bunch of pictures and you never look at them. Doggone you guys. So he's it's in the midday. He's thirsty and he's hungry. The disciples come and find him talking to the Samaritan woman and they say, has anybody given him anything to eat? Because that was the next thing on the agenda. We're all hungry. Remember when they were going through picking the buds of wheat, right? And the disciples said, it's not lawful for you to do this. This is a Sabbath. This is a Sabbath. And Jesus reminded them, well, what about David when he was hungry? He went and he took the showbread from the altar, which was not legal for him to do, yet he did it anyway for him and his men. Right? Well, everything that the Lord did, every single thing that the Lord did in his humanity was for us. He didn't need to be baptized. The Lord, who's poor here? Who's really poor? Who doesn't have enough money? Jesus was born in a stable. Now, in the old days, you would have a two-story house. And the animals would be on the lower floor. And the people would live in the second story. That's why they were in this environment. There was a house right above them. There wasn't any room. People didn't even make any room for them. Good people would have recognized who Jesus was and said, this night I'm going to sleep with the animals. Jesus, you may have my bed. There was nobody even to say that. There was no one. There was no one. Every single thing that he did, when he walked a long distance to just fulfill an obligation for one person, he did that to show us as an example about how we are not supposed to look at our own weaknesses and use them as an excuse. In the midst of your weakness, the Lord is saying, you still have the capacity to serve. You know, there was also things that he did that people don't realize. Where did the wise men come from? What country? Man, I'm glad this isn't a quiz show because you guys would all go home with empty pockets. Persia. Who's a big shot in Persia? Big shot. Old Nebuchadnezzar, right? Things that the Lord used in the beginning to bring discipline on another country were the things of this world. So Nebuchadnezzar went all the way through Egypt and tore everything apart. It was only when Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm so great, I'm going to make a big statue to myself, and anybody who does not bow down and worship it, when they hear all of the clanging of the instruments and the blowing of the trumpets and whatnot, they'll be killed. You know, up until that point, he was just God's implement. He was the stick in God's hand, as Moses himself had a rod. And with this rod, he made many miracles. Egypt was a crummy, crummy place. We have three things that we always say in the church about Egypt, right? That we repeat them over and over and over and over. The blessings of Egypt. Out of Egypt have I called my son. Number two, blessed are my people, Egypt. Number three, I will raise an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt. All right? You know how many curses there are for Egypt? Count them. Go through the Old Testament and count the curses. We don't talk about that. Why? Why do we not talk about that? Because if you don't talk about that, then you don't know why the Lord Jesus Christ was told to, well, it was Joseph, his father, to take the Lord into the land of Egypt. Because during the time of Moses, everything bad happened to the Egyptians. Everything bad happened, except to one little place. What was the name of that place? Ding. You don't get any money for that one either. Goshen, the land of Goshen. It was black in Egypt. It was black, it was black, it was black. Except in Goshen, there was light. There were plagues everywhere in Egypt, except in Goshen. Well, there were, who lived in Goshen? Who lived in Goshen? The people who were not, idol worshippers. The people who were not idol worshippers. But the Lord repents, as he does over time, and he says, I have done enough to Egypt. And so he sent his son there to bless Egypt. And from that we get these three blessings. And the last one is the most important of all, because it is a specific reference to our church. I will raise an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and that is the Coptic Orthodox Church. And that's why Jesus went there. He went there because, like anybody else, unless he had used his divine powers, he could not have escaped Herod's wrath. He was a baby. What's a baby going to do? Get up and run? He's going to fly through the air? How's Jesus going to, is he going to be Superman and bare his chest to the sword, and the sword's not going to have any effect? No. He'll be killed. He'll be slaughtered like any other infant. And now, why did Jesus leave? And the same reason when you have two of the disciples of the Lord, Peter and John. Peter, he said, I'm tough. I'm rugged. If anybody is going to deny you, it's not going to be me. And then guess what? He stood against the evil, and the evil conquered him. And before the rooster crowed, he denied Jesus three times. Then there was this other guy. He's called the Beloved, St. John, or John Mark at the time. John Mark was with the company of people during the time when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they brought out the people from the synagogue and the temple and he ran so fast and he ran so hard that he ran out of his clothes. He went away naked. Somebody grabbed his galabeah and he just kept on running right on through. But guess what? Despite his humiliation, despite his apparent cowardice, he did not do the thing that Peter did, which was he denied Jesus Christ. He didn't. He ran. And we are told when there is persecution that we should run from persecution. When we can no longer run, when every avenue for escape is closed to us, then and only then do we stand up and say, no, no more. I am a Christian. I am willing to die. But you know, many of the saints have said, I would go and I would willingly martyr myself, but someone's going to be responsible for my death. Do I want another human being to stand in front of the throne of God and have to give an account for why he killed me, a man who's done wrong to no one? So many of those who were martyred did so for their own reasons, and many of those who ran from martyrdom did so for their own reasons. And so we have both. We have both. One is called the red witness, and one is the white witness. The white witness is the martyrdom of conscience. The red one is the martyrdom of blood. But we have both. We have both. Some have gone and tried to become martyrs, and they failed in their mission. All right. So, imagine these magicians came from Persia because they saw something in the sky. They saw a sign. The sky is available to everybody. Do you not understand that? The sky is available to everybody. Why they saw it and no one else saw it? Why? For the same reason that some of you can read the Bible and understand, and other of you look at the Bible and you are as ignorant as a stone. And why? Because you don't seek knowledge. You don't seek it. It has to be sought. It's not there, and it's not apparent for everyone. It was not a neon sign in heaven. It was a star that was out of synchronization with the rest of the constellations. So they made it. The wise men made it all the way to the city. But then they didn't know where he was. They didn't know where he was. They ceased looking up. You know, sometimes when we get close to an answer, we get close enough. It's good enough for us. We think we have the answer. So we stop looking. We've done enough. No. They went and they asked everybody. Herod heard about this and he thought, I'm in jeopardy. I'm in jeopardy. Something is going to happen that's momentous. The king of the Jews has been born and is going to usurp my throne and my authority, and I'm not going to be anymore the thing that I have so desired to be. I'm going to kill him. And they said, where is he? We don't know. He said, go look, search diligently, look everywhere. And when you find him, come back and tell me. They didn't know what to do except to look up. Do you know that that's the answer to most of your problems in life? Is that you are looking on a plane that is parallel to the one upon which your feet stand, instead of looking up to heaven for the answer? When you look up, you are elevated. You know what my name means? You know what Beshoy means? Anybody ever know Beshoy or Peshoy? He who ascends. It's like Sammy or Sama, right? He who ascends. Why? Why this name? Why this name? Because Saint Beshoy was a saint who was always looking upwards. He wanted so badly to look upwards that he braided his hair and tied it to the top of his cell. So when his head fell down and he looked at the earth, it would jerk his scalp, and it would wake him up. It would wake him up. He wanted to look up according to his name. You don't look up. You look, oh, this person's got more than me. I don't have this. I don't have that. I wish I had that. Why don't I have this? Somebody doesn't love me as much. I'm so poor. I'm so poor. And the whining that goes into the ears of the Creator must just be insufferable. The whining. I'm going to speak about this point, by the way, tomorrow at your father's funeral. So, I'm saying these things that it might be a little bit fleshed out. I already mentioned that Rama means an elevation, And again, when we speak of elevation, we are always speaking about leaving what Shakespeare called this mortal coil, our flesh. We leave our flesh behind. You know, there are so many people that complain about their bodies. They complain about their bodies all the time. I get so sick of hearing that. I get so sick and tired of hearing that. The Lord gave you a body for how many years that was perfect? You didn't treat it very well. You didn't exercise. You didn't eat correctly. Your body is, I agree, in really bad shape, but you did it. You did it. I've got friends that I eat with. All of my friends that I eat with, they are at least 75 pounds overweight. Three men I eat with, they are 75 pounds overweight. And guess what? Back problems. Problems so bad they can't walk as fast as any one of the little kids. A two-year-old kid hobbles along. Another person walks a block and is out of breath. And they're going to complain. Why are they complaining? Well, I guarantee you, look, if I give you a backpack now to put on your back that weighs 75 pounds, how well are you going to do? How well are you going to? Now, I know they didn't gain 75 pounds all in one day, but they gained 75 pounds. So their backs hurt. Their hips hurt. Their knees hurt. They hurt. Are they slowing down in the eating? Nope. Do they complain? Yep. These are my friends I'm talking about. My close friends. But it's not something that you want to say in the presence of God. Sometimes when we look at each other, if you will make an excuse for me and my ugliness, I'm going to make an excuse for you and your ugliness. We're going to shake hands. Don't mention the things that you hate about me, and I won't mention the things that I hate about you, and neither of us will ever improve. We will stay the same. Well, that's if we hold the line. The chances are we'll get uglier. Now, the important thing to take away from all of this is that Jesus did not have to run. He ran for our sakes. He thirsted for our sakes. He was in pain for our sakes. It said, the fox has a place to lay his head, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Foxes have holes to live in. The Son of Man has nothing. What did he eat? What were his clothes? What were his sandals? What did he do? He did all these things for us. You know, if you hear on the news about a woman who's homeless and she has a baby in a car, and everybody's, oh my God, how terrible. Oh, this poor woman, she had a baby in a car. It was more comfortable than the stable in which the Lord was born. Whatever it is you think your circumstances are, the Lord suffered for you more to show that it is not the thing that is going to forever identify you. You're not going to be known because you were poor. You're not going to be known because you suffered. You're not going to be known for any of these things. You're going to be known for your personal conduct. You're going to be known for the way in which you deal with holy things. That's all. And it's starting with this. When he is a baby who cannot speak. You know, Joseph was given great care and great responsibility for the Holy Virgin and her child. She was just a mother who was nursing. She couldn't do anything for herself. He had to be there to take care of every single thing. And men, that is your responsibility on earth. That is your responsibility on earth. It's not to try to find some woman that has a good has a good degree so she can support you. No, it's not meant to be that way. It might be the standard of today. It might be what everybody does, and since everybody does it, we've made friends with it, but it's not the way that it was meant to be. It was not meant that way by the Savior. Everything has turned upside down. You can blame it on the feminist movement, you can blame it on many, many, many things, but you cannot blame it on what he showed with his life as an example for us to emulate. He showed us. We refuse it, and we do what we do because we have made friends with doing it. That's our shame. Think about these things and learn from them. I hope to do the same. I do not put myself in a position that is different than you. I hope that the Lord will help dispel my own ignorance, and I hope that the Lord will make me a better person in the future by opening doors to me that I myself am too feeble to open by myself. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.